Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 92. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
Welcome us back, listeners. I'm Craig Hamilton. I've got Ben Flanagan with me. We're about to sprinkle you guys all up with some Oscar seasoning. It's been a while, but my good friend Ben Flanagan, congratulations are in order. The arrival of his firstborn. So congrats to you, my friend.
Thank you, man. It's really exciting, and I apologize in advance if we have to take a break during this podcast. She just sneezed, and it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Well, we'll leave it. It was so cute, I didn't even hear it. So we're going to plan on doing three more episodes, including this one. We're going to talk about the Producers Guild, the SAG Awards, and the Directors Guild, and then we're going to do one that's kind of like a last-minute final predictions right before the Oscars, and then we're going to have like a post-Oscar, right, Ben, episode.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so let's talk about Producers Guild. So this one's kind of let me just start off by saying, I wouldn't think we talked about this in a previous episode, but since 2007, the Producers Guild winner has won the Oscar for Best Picture, and that includes the 12 Years a Slave / Gravity tie in 2013. That's 8 years in a row.
So it's over, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's over. Although, man, I really hope it's not. And it should also be noted, here's what a lot of the pundits I'm seeing as I'm perusing Twitter and just kind of observing and trying not to get involved. The conversations are, you know, the preferential ballot is what they're really going back to, which started in 09, excuse me, with the Hurt Locker. But it even goes further back than that, two more years, as far as the Producers Guild and the Oscars lining up. You know, we can delve a little deeper into this in our next episode, if you want to kind of take a look at Producers Guild winners, Directors Guild winners, and who didn't win the picture, when you consider also the SAG ensemble, you know, stuff like that. But if we're just looking at Producers Guild lining up with the Oscars 8 years in a row, and if you want to take the last six for the preferential balloting, it's like stronger than ever. People want to run home and say this is over. The winner is The Big Short, because that's what won Producers Guild. And by the way, when we say preferential ballot, was that another sneeze?
It was just a noise.
Oh, okay. It's just the way they count the winners as far as number one rankings. When they make up a certain percentage, they win. I think it's like 50%, right, or something like that. I don't know. I'm no expert. But all I know is how they count it. So it's kind of first one there wins as far as first place ranking. So it behooves voters to rank movies they don't want to win last, or movies they do want to win higher. At any rate, I'm not trying to get in the mind of the voters, but The Big Short won Producers Guild. Ben, what do you think?
Well, according to your stat, I mean, like I said, it seems like it would be over at this point. Once the Producers Guild make that big decision, they usually tells us, as we know, according to what you said, that the Best Picture winner will reflect it. And it just so happens that this year seems like a bit of an anomaly. And if it's going to change this, if it's going to change any time, it might be this year, because, spoiler alert, we had a three-way split between these major guilds that often reflect the Best Picture winner: Producers Guild, Directors Guild, and Screen Actors Guild. All three went with three different movies, so now that means we have three different legit contenders. And I think right now, regardless of that Producers Guild outcome, it's kind of too close to call. And I personally don't feel 100% comfortable saying that The Big Short is going to win Best Picture without a doubt. I think it's definitely possible. I think that in a way it's in the driver's seat, but I think it's kind of split three ways at this point. And what's weird, Craig, is, I look, you and I, we both liked The Big Short. I think that just on a personal level, it might be disappointing if it wins Best Picture. I just don't hear enough people talking about it and really clamoring for it as the best movie of the year. I personally think that it's just not on the level of filmmaking as several of the other movies that are nominated in the category. It's my least favorite movie in the whole category. But that said, I mean, no offense to Adam McKay, because I think he's a good director, and I think it's a really good movie. I just don't think it's of this caliber. So, and again, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to win Best Picture, but usually you hear people at least talking about how great it is leading up to the Oscars, and I just personally haven't really seen or heard much of that. All I'm seeing is it winning these awards and getting nominations, and it's doing it somehow, and it might be the last one standing, but right now I don't know if it's going to win Best Picture.
I agree. I think you spoke for both of us accurately when you explained why it is the least favorite of our Best Picture nominees. I think the reason people are saying it's going to win is because of it's just winning the precursors, and we don't really know why. You know, 12 Years a Slave a couple of years ago kept winning the precursors. Well, that's a wonderful, incredibly well-crafted film with a lot of passion and a really intense message. The Big Short has an intense message. Not to hate on The Big Short, because I don't hate it, but it's just I found it to be cluttered, a mixed bag of comedy and drama. And it, quite frankly, it's a story that it's not a new story. I think there was a really well-made documentary on it a few years ago, but it's Brad Pitt's producing company. Is that correct? And who also did 12 Years a Slave. Correct me on that if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Plan B okay. Entertainment.
So, you know, I just picture kind of Brad Pitt's awesome, handsome, suave self just shaking hands and buying drinks, and this thing gets won. I'm glad Adam McKay gets this opportunity. I think that's incredible that a filmmaker like Adam McKay, who's done some really funny, light movies, can get this sort of opportunity. But I think this is a heavy, it's quasi-heavy subject with some indicting, you know, message behind it that it still fits into that lightness. And while that may work with a different director, it didn't work for me at all. And I really hope, usually I'm sitting back on Oscar night and I've got the one I want to win, but it doesn't really bother me if another movie wins. It will bother me if The Big Short wins, because I think it is just nowhere near the best picture of the year. And if it does win, it is indeed because of some, you know, dinner table conversation or, you know, schmoozing, just like they always are, but I just tend to like the other winners better.
Yeah, and, so, you know, I don't want to hold past work against anybody, you know, because I love Anchorman and I love Step Brothers and, you know, directors and just artists, they can change and they can make these transitions, obviously, into sort of this realm of Oscar worthiness, as it were, if that's really a thing. I mean, you look at the directing category, and the last movie Thomas McCarthy made was The Cobbler, that Adam Sandler movie that everybody thought was a misfire. George Miller, as great as he is, and he's obviously responsible for the entire Mad Max series, but and he made Babe, which was obviously a Best Picture nominee way back in the mid-90s. He also made Happy Feet, and I don't think anybody expected the guy who, at that point in his career, was making animated penguin movies, I don't think they expected him to go on to make a movie like Mad Max Fury Road. So anything can obviously happen, and Adam McKay made a really good movie, and it's more than competently directed. I mean, it's sharp to an extent. I agree. Like, the style isn't my favorite. It kind of reminds me of TV. It's like I'm watching an episode of The Office at times, just in terms of how it's filmed, how it's edited. But it's got a lot on its plate. It's got a lot of different characters and storylines that it has to juggle. So I would chalk one up for the editing on its behalf. And I think it did a fine job in telling a complicated story that it's probably going to go over a lot of people's heads. It certainly went over mine at times. And honestly, Craig, that's one reason I'm kind of surprised that it's supposedly connected with so many people, in that it's a complicated story. And And I totally agree with you in that it kind of feels a little dated, even at this point, just 8 years later. It feels like nobody's really talking about the mortgage crisis. And it seems like, obviously, a passion project for Adam McKay. We knew that was the case by watching the end of The Other Guys, where the closing credits for this animation that were essentially the Big Short, in a way, sort of like a precursor to the Big Short. So it makes you wonder why he felt like, several years later, I need to revisit this material and I need to make a feature film out of it. It made me wonder, why didn't you just do that when you made The Other Guys? Nobody really responded to that movie the way they had to your previous comedies. If that's what you were thinking about while you were making that, and you put way more effort into the closing credits, why not just make the Big Short then? But it's obviously paid off for him, and he could win Best Director. He could be the director of a Best Picture winning film. So obviously not all is lost, and he was right, and it has connected with people. I would just, honestly, it would just surprise me at this point, and it would have surprised me the first time I saw the trailer before I even saw the movie, and somebody said, that movie is going to be in contention for Best Picture, and it's probably going to win. I would have said, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a different movie now that I've seen it, and weeks have gone by since I've seen it. It's almost a different movie in my mind than the movie I first saw the trailer of. And that's from an Adam McKay, my perspective of what an Adam McKay movie is going to be, although I thought it looked good. But yeah, I think if you're trying to explain to an audience what happened in an entertaining way, while not going over their heads, I think it failed. I think if you want it to hit home with people, if you want people to get emotionally involved, they need to understand what's happening. And I felt like the movie attempted to do that. But failed. And I think there are moments where they could have given some more background information, or a couple more moments where they could have taught or educated the audience, instead of saying, here is Margot Robbie, blah, 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 blah. Well, that is the epitome to me of style over substance. I think you're distracting the audience when you're, and that's clever, but if you really want the audience to understand what's happening, you're distracting them at the same time. So, and I kind of felt that it was just a little vain.
I agree. And to me, those moments, while, like you said, they were cute, I love the show Family Guy. I think it's really funny and the style is really clever, but those felt like Family Guy jokes in a way. And I thought that they were kind of insulting to the audience by saying, look, this stuff's way too complicated, so we're gonna put this ridiculous image on screen to try to connect with you or even distract you while Margot Robbie or Selena Gomez or Anthony Bourdain is trying to explain it. It's like, okay, I get the joke. That's fine. I just don't know that it belongs in this movie. In a way, it seems a little irreverent to the subject matter, too, in that it's trying to tell this devastating story about the U.S. economy that affected millions of lives. And they, you know, and there are many ways to tell that story, and Adam McKay is a guy who is known for irreverent comedy, so I wouldn't expect anything less from him. But I don't know, in a way, I think you can't have both when you're making this movie, because there are attempts at humanizing characters and going for emotional arcs that work on some levels and don't on others. I just never really felt much emotional heft with this story, and I never really felt like it was telling, it never really felt like it made a concerted effort to tell the stories of the people who were largely affected by it. Instead, it wanted to tell the people who reaped the benefits of it and said, I told you so about it, and it tried to make itself feel good about that, and that's what just didn't really work for me.
Yeah, if anyone's listening to this and you hear how much we love this movie, and you want to, but you watch it and you didn't really love it so much, but you want to understand a little more, check out the film Inside Job. I'm trying to fact check as I say this, from 2011. It won Best Documentary. It itself is not a perfect documentary. It is a very complicated subject matter. I can't even pretend to halfway understand it, but it does a good job of illustrating the crisis of 2008 and how awful the people that you know, benefited off that were.
Yeah, and I don't want to get hung up reviewing it necessarily, and I certainly don't want to come off as a big short basher, but honestly, the reason I'm sort of talking it out is I'm just trying to get my head around the fact that it might win Best Picture, and I'm just trying to understand what it is that connects with audiences, but also these voters who are willing to say, this reflects our tastes in 2015, this is what we thought was the best picture of the year, better than The Revenant, better than Spotlight, better than Mad Max Fury Road. I just don't see how it's even on the level of those movies, to be honest.
Same here. That's 2010. It was the 2011 Oscars where it won Best Documentary. I completely agree, and I think it's time to get off this dead horse that is The Big Short that will probably win Best Picture and make us stop
or
watching
will
movies.
Or will it?
Well, you know what? I've got this hunch that is almost always incorrect that I'm trying to ignore, but I'm just wondering if Spotlight's going to make this final surge. I don't know. Well, do you want to talk about SAG?
Might as well. Good segue.
Okay. A good segue. That's stupid. Well, okay, so I think there's some foregone conclusions here. Let's start with actor Leonardo DiCaprio. Despite his vaping and, passion projects that inevitably get rise to the surface in his acceptance speeches, I think he's a lock, and I think it's a well-deserved win for him.
Will vaping cost Leo the Oscar? See the E.T. headline.
Yeah. Supposedly, the Academy has said no vaping in the ceremonies.
Oof, so. Man! Then we might just get that still photograph of Leo when all the nominees are on the screen when they read them, and somebody's going to be accepting it on his behalf.
Yeah, well, he just lights up an actual cigarette. And nobody cares.
You didn't say no cigarettes.
I would prefer if he did that than pull out a mechanism that lets you inhale smoke and. Anyways, but so that was an incredible performance. I think he's been so close for so long, and quite frankly, personally, I've never thought his performances were the best of the respected year he's been nominated to win, but here I'm all for giving it to him.
You know, I think I'm probably with you, although I loved his performance in Wolf of Wall Street, and I kind of was pulling for him that year, either him or Bruce Dern. I thought it was just a really strong category, but, you know, it didn't work out that way, and that's fine, and I think that this is obviously one of his best performances. So I think it sticks out among the five nominees for sure, and the timing is obviously great. The competition isn't nearly as strong. So, yeah, I think this is the year Leo finally wins, and it'll be a total shock if anything else happens. So, Yeah, the vaping aside, I think they're going to forgive that moment on the red carpet and give him the Oscar.
What if he doesn't, who wins?
Oh, man. So the nominees, again, let's go through them, are Bryan Cranston, Michael Fassbender. Help me out. They're not in front of me.
Matt Damon. Leo,
Damon.
Of course. Yeah, Damon. Fassbender and Eddie Redmayne. I'm not sure if you know who that is. That's that guy that does the role of a lifetime every year. But yeah, so I really don't know who would win if it's not Leo.
I don't know, man. Like, I haven't seen Trumbo, so I don't feel good judging that and telling, you know, you whether or not that would win. I think out of those, if I had to vote, or if I had to predict, I don't know, like, at one point I would have said Matt Damon back when the Martian had so much steam, but honestly, it was kind of a lucky break that he ended up getting a nomination, you know? So,
right.
I don't think it would be Matt Damon. I would say Michael Fassbender, because he's been nominated everywhere, and Kate Winslet obviously won the Globe, and so there's some recognition out there, but that wouldn't be, okay, you know, that's my foregone conclusion. So,
yeah,
I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I just think that this is as big a lock that there's been in this category in a long time.
I agree. I mean, it's not even worth talking about. Because we couldn't even remember the nominees. So,
well, let's just stop then.
actress. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I'm the only one out there making the Brie Larson should be in the supporting category argument, and I'm totally fine with that. But it's only because I think it would, you know, it would be a perfect world if she and Saoirse Ronan both won Oscars, because if she was in the supporting category, she'd definitely win. You know,
yeah.
Like, there would be no contest, and that would open it up, obviously, for Ronan. But no, it's you know, it's just as, like you said, just as much as Leo for Best Actor at this point. It'll be a shock if Brie Larson doesn't win Best Actress. So that's just going to happen.
I don't think you're out of your mind to suggest she should be in supporting, because they're both leads. But if you want to say you can only have one lead, which is not really logical, then he's more of a lead than she is.
And
but
he would have gotten nominated for supporting, which is ridiculous.
Right, yeah. Yeah, she's a lock. But yeah, Saoirse Ronan, I really like her. She is great in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And she's just impressive in everything, but understated. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and, you know, her time is probably coming.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time before David O. Russell or Woody Allen cast her in a 5-movie run. So pray for Saoirse. So I'm sorry. It's me. I have trouble enunciating sometimes. Supporting actor.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know. Maybe Stallone really did screw himself out of a sure thing with that whole Golden Globe speech. And I don't know if that's the case, but it feels like the rumblings suggest that Stallone is not as much of a lock as people initially anticipated. And I still think he's going to win, but Best Supporting Actor has just been so wide open these past few years. I mean, there have been locks. I mean, you go back to, again, the 2012 with a performance like Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, he was pretty much wire-to-wire going to win that award, right? But I think of something like 2011 when – or was it 2000 – I guess it was 2012. I can't remember the year exactly, but when Christoph Waltz won and – you had all of those past nominees like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Alan Arkin and Robert De Niro all nominated in that category, and you just kind of didn't know where they were going to go. And that could be the case again this year, but honestly, I can't really think of anybody who is going to transcend and knock him off the pedestal, whether that's Tom Hardy, who was kind of a surprise nominee, or Mark Ruffalo, who could be the you know, because it had such strong – you know, it had such a strong showing at SAG, could sort of be like the acting representation for Spotlight. So I don't know. I think that now that Stallone got the nomination, when that was kind of in question because of no SAG nomination, I think he's probably going to win.
I see. Yeah. Supporting actor feels kind of odd to me. I'm glad Tom Hardy got in, but I think you might agree. I don't think Ruffalo was the best supporter in Spotlight, although he was good. But he probably had a little more of a prominent role. I think Michael Keaton was fine. But anyways, it won't be Idris Elba.
No, you mean multi-SAG winner Idris Elba, who, for, you know, some weird reason, failed to secure a nomination? I mean, that's probably, and we talked about snubs already, but that's probably the biggest snub of the Oscars at this point. And I think that's what
probably
remembered for. So
yeah, and I'm glad that we're able to talk about this before anybody else too. This Idris Elba getting snubbed from the Oscars, but a SAG snagger, Idris Elba, SAG snagger.
There you go.
I'm coining it. It's mine. That's okay. No one will hear it to steal it, anyways.
Snagger, so, Sagway. Don't stop now.
Unfortunately, I won't. Mark Rylance was great, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I honestly once thought that he was going to win, and I thought he was Stallone's best competition. But as our good friend Ben Stark will attest, nobody cares about Bridge of Spies, this great brand new Steven Spielberg movie, just beautifully made and acted, and has one of Tom Hanks' career best performances in it, and nobody even wasted a breath suggesting him as a best actor contender. So why even bother talking about Mark Rylance, who gives an incredible performance in that? So just forget it.
I just think that when you make a movie that is so just subtle, understated, doesn't attempt to just wow you with, you know, anything really, it's just all around a strong film. I guess these days people don't mention you anymore. I don't understand.
Well, yeah, people might say that's what Spotlight is, right? And maybe Spotlight.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
but you know, maybe it's the subject matter. Maybe nobody cares about the Cold War, you know, on the big screen anymore. Maybe the timing just wasn't right for it. Even though Bridge of Spies, in turn, happens to be one of the more politically relevant movies of 2015 in terms of some of the real world things that draw parallels in terms of the theme
exploring.
Like, it's amazing nobody talked about it.
There's several parallels you can draw from that to current days. And I was sitting there just watching, just curious as to how Spielberg was going to handle, you know, his opinion that could be brought out into the film based on what's going on today. You know, you can kind of see where the filmmaker stands with his movie, I think, if you look at it correctly.
Yeah.
And I kind of know how Spielberg tends to think politically or you know, stuff like that. So, but I was just kind of waiting to see what he was going to do. I guess nobody saw it except just enough people to vote it for, to nominate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nominated for Best Picture, but at this point, you have to wonder, it's like, why even waste a Best Picture nomination on Academy if it's not going to play in any other category, or it's not going to get a Best Director nomination. It's not really going to contend in a way that you would hope that a new great Steven Spielberg movie or a Best Picture nominee would. It's just not a factor this year, and that's mind-boggling to me.
Well, I had a buddy that saw it, and he was so he hated it because he was anticipating like an action film where a spy was running away from the enemy and had to cross a river, and that a bunch of other spies made a bridge with themselves by hanging on to each other's legs. And he was going to run over them, and then they would all in turn kind of crawl over each other. And that didn't happen, obviously.
So the actual Bridge of Spies itself didn't measure up to those expectations.
Right.
Because I get it.
There was no Bridge of Spies, really.
Well, there was. The in there, there's a bridge, and there are a bunch of spies on it. So.
Well, not in the literal sense.
Okay. Well, you know.
Hey, this isn't me.
You're speaking for.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, right. Right. Yeah.
I get it.
Supporting actress. This one could be a little tricky here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that these last few guilds and precursors may have sort of cleared the air and have told us that Alicia Vikander is going to win it. And I think we were once the Golden Globes happened and somebody had to win the wide open category, and that somebody happened to be Kate Winslet, we thought, oh, okay, well, I guess it's going to be her because the Golden Globes finally picked one. And then the Critics' Choice picked Vikander, and then SAG picked Vikander. And so those, to me, are probably a little stronger in terms of indicating what might win the Oscar. And while I'm with you, I think it's still kind of open. If I had to put money down, it would be Vikander, even though I only know, like, one person who's seen The Danish Girl.
Who's that?
My sister.
Where'd she find it?
It played in Birmingham.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, for a few minutes. She said it was depressing.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, supporting actress seems like a category that is used often to kind of reward those other movies that aren't as prominent in the, or aren't as represented in the nominations, because maybe the best thing going for it is that actress's performance, supporting performance, even though Eddie Redmayne dresses up like a woman. I mean, that can't be ignored. But anyways,
well,
I agree.
In Vikander's breakthrough year, it's amazing that it's going to finish with that kind of cherry on top if she happens to win the Oscar. I mean, that's quite a year. And I saw Ex Machina, and she's great in that, and I had hoped that she would get nominated for that performance, and it would have been totally deserving of a nomination and even a win. And when I had heard chatter that she really belonged in the lead category for Danish Girl, so that kind of surprised me. So perhaps the studio and those campaigning for her on her behalf went all in on this movie and thought that this category was where she could actually win it, and it seems like that's what's going to happen.
I wonder if the campaigns start before they understand what the other candidates are going to campaign for. Like, what if Vikander and Larson's folks said, listen, you go for lead, we'll go for supporting. But if they don't talk, they think the other person's doing the other.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of mutual understanding there, because it's worked out in the past for some people. I mean, you go back and think about some performances where you have these actors and actresses who have multiple performances in a given year. I mean, the first ones that come to mind for me are Leonardo DiCaprio, when he had The Departed in Blood Diamond, and he got nominated for Blood Diamond when I think, when The Departed won Best Picture and was the movie of the year, and I personally think he gave the better performance in that. Maybe they just thought, I honestly don't really know what they thought, what their line of thinking was there. And then you think of Kate Winslet, who in 2008 had The Reader, which was considered a supporting performance for most of the season until it came to Oscar time, because she had Revolutionary Road, which I think just ran out of award steam by the time they arrived there, and the studio just wanted to go all in on the lead actress category if they could make the right argument for it, and it worked out in her favor. But, you know, I think of something like Jamie Foxx, right, in 2004 when he got nominated for two different movies, and it's happened before. I mean, he got nominated for Ray, which he won for, and Collateral, mm-hmm. which he got nominated for. So I just don't understand why you can't just live with multiple nominations. And again, we've seen it before. I mean, we've even seen one person get nominated twice for director in the same year as Soderbergh in 2000, and he won the dang thing. So I don't really understand making new rules just to fit your narrative and your push to win this certain award. I think you can be nominated twice. And I think that it's clear that it won't be overkill, and there's a good shot that they'll win, especially if they're on people's minds the way that Soderbergh and those actors were in the past. So it's a shame, you know, that it works out that way sometimes, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it drives me mad because, you know, who knows, you know, it's when you're trying to predict something and they throw in a different category.
They're messing it up for us.
Yeah, man. I counted anyway, so whatever. Spotlight won Ensemble, which it's 50-50 with Oscars. And so from 98 through 2003, it matched twice, didn't match twice, and then matched twice. And then in 07 and 08 with No Country and Slumdog, it matched twice. Every other year, it's alternated. And guess what? Last year, it matched. So history tells us that it won't match this year. And
well,
Spotlight won.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, the Spotlight really needed to win that, right, to remain in the conversation, because The Big Short was up for Ensemble, and Spotlight beat it, you know, and I think most people thought that it was kind of out of the running, and once it won that, it's like, whoa, no, Spotlight's still in the minds of a lot of voters, because we all know that actors make up such a huge percentage of the Academy voting body, so I think it's right there in the race, and it was a crucial win for it.
Well, I would have had a problem if Big Short had won Ensemble, and I mean that sincerely. It's a disjointed cast. Everybody did a great job. The performances were great, but you've got, what, three sets of actors kind of hanging out together, and they're all edited in nicely. But there's not a synergy. They're not interminglings. And with Spotlight, they are. They're always one of them is always talking to the other. It seems like. So I do. Spotlight's not the flashiest movie here. It's a blue collar movie, if you will. It gets the job done. It tells the story of what happened, without, you know. I mean, listen, Aaron Sorkin didn't write this script. You know, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It just said, hey, this is what happened. Doesn't really take a bunch of sides, if you want, religiously or politically. It's just say, this is what happened. And so I'm glad it won SAG, and as you said, it really needed to, and it makes it much more interesting for us. Since The Big Short won Producers Guild and SAG won Ensemble, and the Directors Guild award went to Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant.
Yeah, and he could, I guess it sets up the pins for him to win a second straight directing Oscar, which is so rare these days and would be really impressive, and honestly, just in terms of, you know, how I would vote or, you know, how I would feel about that outcome, I'd be totally fine with it. I think it's a gorgeously directed movie and was obviously a major undertaking, and even more so, I think, than Birdman, which obviously wrapped up last year. And I'm amazed that he was able to follow up something as technically ambitious as Birdman with something that put way more on his plate logistically. So, I mean, in the movie, I think it's just really good in a just really brutal but lovely story. In some of his best storytelling to date, some of his most understated, obviously, work to date. And if Iñárritu is making understated work, then that means he's doing a heck of a directing job on his part. And that's no offense to his past work, which I really like a lot. I really like Birdman a lot. So I think that if he wins it, he deserves it. But again, we're back in this territory of we don't know. And growing up, we were so used to director and picture matching that once we saw those splits, like with Soderbergh winning for Traffic and Gladiator winning and Ang Lee winning for Brokeback and Crash winning, and obviously now with the preferential ballot changing things up, anything could happen at this point. So a split is no longer the just oddball situation or result. It's something that could happen any year, and I think that it probably will happen this year.
Yeah, so since 2009, which is the preferential ballot, where you have the ways they vote on the best director are not the same way they vote on best picture. 2009, 2010, 2011, the director matched best picture, and they also matched the Directors Guild. So all three matched. 2012, as we all know, Ben Affleck won Directors Guild. But I have to say, that was after people had realized he did not receive an Oscar nomination for directing Argo. I have to feel like, and maybe you disagree, but I have to feel like that's a backlash award given to Ben Affleck for Argo for the Directors Guild. Obviously, he didn't win director because he wasn't nominated, but Argo did win Best Picture. I think that may not have as much to do with the balloting, and maybe it does, but may not as much to do with the balloting as it does people taking a stand on him not getting the nomination for director.
I thought that was really weird when it happened. I wondered, why does Hollywood and why do these voters feel such an obligation to make things up to Ben Affleck? You know, just because he didn't get nominated. I mean, that tells me that maybe you didn't think Argo was good enough, and maybe you didn't think his direction was good enough. And the fact that they just obviously went out of their way to grovel at his feet by giving, you know, Argo the best picture win just because he didn't get nominated, I just found that really strange back then. And I like Argo. I think it's a really good movie. And, you know, I think that his directing snub was huge when it happened, but I just found it odd that after I felt like back when he didn't get the nomination, I thought, okay, well, that means Lincoln is probably winning, or maybe Zero Dark Thirty, or maybe even Lap of Pi.
Yeah.
I think Argo's just totally out of the race. But I mean, they
still threw it in there, and it was just an
apology train to Ben Affleck, and I just didn't understand that.
Or it could just be whenever Ang Lee is nominated, somebody else wins Best Picture.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, so that happened, and then the next year you had Gravity. Alfonso Cuarón won Directors Guild and Best Director, but 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture, which was directed by Alexander McQueen. Which was so that's 2 years in a row with a split. People began
Steve McQueen.
To think, well, Steve McQueen?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I say Alexander McQueen?
Yes.
Okay. The fashion, the since passed away fashion designer, RIP. At any rate, we'll keep it in. And then Birdman wins all three. So we, let's see, I guess that's about 6 years since that preferential balloting. The same winner has happened four times, so we're going to see more splits, but we didn't last year, did we? But I think this year, I think you're right. I think it is ripe for a split because we have three different major guild winners. But one thing that we have not seen since, and it has only happened once since 1951 when I started as far back as I go, it's in 2000, was, as you mentioned, Ang Lee with Crouching Tiger won Directors Guild. Soderbergh won the Best Director Oscar with Traffic, but Ridley Scott won Best Picture with Gladiator. Never again has that happened, but I need to go back and look at this, but I wonder how many years they've had so many different guild winners.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm not predicting a three different, an all three winner difference, but it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, there could be chaos Oscar night, or it could kind of wind up like Birdman, where it just kind of wins everything that it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. And having said that, I challenge you to tell me what's going to win Best Picture Oscar night today.
Today?
I mean, yeah, today. If you had to pick it today, what would you say?
You know what? That's what I'm saying. My hunch says Spotlight for some reason.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I'm thinking, I don't know why. Because that's what was said, what, 2 or 3 months ago? And I'm like, no, it's not over. Everybody wants to say it's over. For whatever reason, the folks that are in the know want to ignore the Directors Guild because the Producers Guild is so important these days. But I'm not of the mind that wants to say it, something's over. I like to have fun until the very end. Maybe it's wishful thinking. But I'm going to say Spotlight. What about you?
I'd love for Spotlight to win. It may be my favorite movie among the bunch. I think it's just really expertly done and a really, really, really good movie. But I think right now, if I had to pick, I would probably go with The Revenant, to be honest. And that Directors Guild win really sort of shook things up for me. I mean, I thought that Adam McKay was probably going to win that after the Producers Guild went with The Big Short, but all of the nominations for The Revenant, that's the movie that I think people are really talking about lately, and that people I think that's the movie that has really connected with people and hit people on an emotional and visceral level. And you have the whole Leo narrative of him finally winning, and Iñárritu, obviously the past winner. You know, maybe they'll use last year's big win in Best Picture and Director win against Iñárritu, and the Academy is weird about this, where it's like, you don't have legendary status. Like, we're not going to give you that. We're going to spread the love. We're going to make sure that you don't win two in a row of this caliber. And you've just kind of seen that in the past, and it's kind of a weird thing to do.
Well,
and I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but right now my gut tells me, my head, in a weird way, my head tells me The Big Short just because of the PGA and the stats he threw down. But my gut right now tells me The Revenant.
Well, I'll tell you what, if any of those things happen,
He's already won Directors Guild, the Yari 2. If any of that stuff happens and he doesn't win Best Director, and somehow Miller or Adam McKay wins and the Spotlight wins Picture, that's going to be like the second time ever that's happened, and ever since these have been organized with the Directors Guild giving out an award every year, which would be absolutely nuts. But and again, since 1951 and probably before then, the same director hasn't won 2 years in a row. And I think that changed in the early years with the kind of the studios kind of like having everybody under contract and you're making like 4 movies a year. I think there were some repeat directors, but ever since there was more organization with the Academy Awards and their nominees and everything like that, I don't think directors won 2 years in a row, and I know that's the case since 1951. But I will say in 1960, Billy Wilder won the director, and in 1959, William Wyler. So
I'm confused.
It almost happened.
I think that's probably the best place to stop.
Oh no, that's sad.
No, we have to.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.